Praise the Lord. Again, welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church. And if you haven't already, I want to invite you to open up your program to the outline of today's discussion. I don't know about you, but I've got good days and bad days. How about you? And everything seems to go well. And then all of a sudden, even in the best laid plans, it seems like life happens, right? And sometimes there are things that you thought were coming down the road, and then there are things that completely blindside you. But in any case, whether planned or unplanned, it brings a challenge to our character. It brings a challenge to our person and our living out of this faith of following Jesus. And so in my family right now, we've got this challenge, and it's called Marnie. For those of you who don't know her, that's my wife. Marnie is, she has had surgery, and she is off her foot for about 6 weeks. So we're nearing the end of this journey. But 6 weeks of not being on your foot leaves you pretty much helpless. Not exactly helpless, but you're not crutching through the house carrying your own coffee. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's been challenging, and it's left a lot of household responsibilities to fall on myself and on the kids. And with work, and then wife, and then kids, and house, and dogs, it created a bit of a strain. And I noticed that I started getting edgy, we'll say, to put it nicely, with my family. With my kids, with my wife even, and, you know, they didn't necessarily do anything wrong, although kids can put things away when they're done using them, right? Okay. Anyway. But, you know, and I started to get tempted to, in my edginess, and starting to get frustrated to take it out on Marnie or the kids, and then blame them. Well, they didn't put this away, or they didn't, you know, they're not helping out here. And so in my frustration of how things were going and beginning to lose it, I wanted to shift and pass the responsibility of controlling myself onto them. Are you following that? It's their fault. And I don't know if you've ever been in that place, but it reminds me of a story of a long time ago. Our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, God formed the man and the woman, and he set them in this most beautiful place where all their needs would be met, and all they had to do was enjoy, work the land, take care of the place. And then along comes this cunning, nasty, vicious liar who approaches Eve with a question that brings God's integrity and character into question. And we know this story, right? You know, he causes them to begin to think new ways about God and doubt his love for them, doubt his truthfulness with them. And so we know that eventually he talks to them about eating this forbidden fruit, and the woman eats the fruit first, and then her husband, who was standing there the entire time, well, after she takes the bite, she just goes like this to him, and without a word, he takes it and starts munching. So it says their eyes were opened to now that they understood good and evil. And they tried to clothe themselves with leaves because they were naked. And then in the cool of the day, God comes down and he walks in this garden. Wouldn't that be awesome to be in this place where every day you just walked and talked with God, right? So God shows up, and this time, instead of meeting him and greeting him like they normally would, no Adam and no Eve. They're hiding. Now, God doesn't have to know, you know, ask where are they. He knows. And a lot of times God will ask you and I questions. And it's not because God doesn't know the answer, it's because we don't know the answer. We think we do. So he says, Adam, where are you? And then they finally skulk out. And God sees their very pathetic makeshift Victoria's Secret going on there. What's up with that? That's poison ivy. They said, we're naked. And he says, who told you you were naked? The serpent. So they have this conversation, and God finally says, you ate the fruit, didn't you? The man does what any wise guy would do. The woman. It was her fault. She did it. And the woman, God looks at her and says, what did you do? It's not me. It was the snake. The serpent, he's the one. It's his fault. And you know, I mean, was there some truth to what they said? You know, I mean, Eve did take the first bite. Process through this with me a second. Eve did take the first bite. She did offer it to her husband. She had this drawn-out conversation with this possessed snake. Yeah, that happened. And the serpent did have this conversation with Eve and did bring into question God's character and integrity and pose this temptation, right? So those things did happen. And yet, God's response was to hold all of them accountable. Even this snake. Like, reptiles are not known for being the smartest creatures in the world. They are instinctually driven, period. They don't reason like you and I do. They don't have conscience. And yet, even the serpent was held accountable for being cooperative with this fallen angel, this demon spirit called Satan. And all throughout human history, friends, what we see is that excuse-making and blame-shifting seem to be a part of fallen human nature. In fact, it has become an art form for many people, right? I mean, we just blame everybody and everything. Think about how many times we have been confronted with our own faults, our own mistakes and shortcomings, and we wanted to pass the blame on somebody else. Maybe we wanted to blame our friends because they were doing it too, or blame our sibling because they started the fight, right? Blame the other Christian because they offended me, or blame the church because it let me down, or the pastor. Blame our parents because of how they raised us and all the mistakes they made, right? We want to blame the police officer because of, you know, we got the ticket from speeding. As though it was he that was speeding. No, it was us, right? We broke the law. We get mad at doctors when we don't follow the instructions and they have to do more things. Are you tracking with this so far? And if we're not actually shifting the blame and trying to make it somebody else's fault, then we at least want to deflect where we can remove the focus off of our mistakes, shortcomings, and faults and put them onto other people's mistakes, shortcomings, and faults. Like, well, okay, maybe I did, but what about them? Right? Well, so maybe I do cuss when I'm around my work buddies. But you smoke, right? You chew, you drink with your pals on Friday night. Okay, maybe I do go out and get drunk, but you're living together with someone that you're not married to, right? Like we deflect, and it's not that we don't, it's not that we blame shift. It's not somebody else's fault for what we're doing, but we just try to remove the focus, the spotlight off of our fault onto somebody else's fault. This game has gone on all throughout human history. And while there may be some truth to the power of the influences around us, of parents and how they raised us and friends and peer pressure and work environments and so on, there may be powerful factors in influencing our choices and behaviors. Here's what we find in Scripture, in your outlines, is that God teaches the principle of ownership, not excuse making. God teaches the principle of ownership, not excuse making. So let me give you a few examples. I've given you a couple references here, Matthew 5 and Matthew 18, and I encourage you to go read them on your own. But here's in a nutshell what you will find. In Matthew 5, what we find out is that if I find out that someone has been offended or hurt by me, Jesus teaches the principle that I should go to reconcile with them. So if I hurt you, Jesus teaches the principle of ownership. Then I am to go to you to try to reconcile. Are you following that? Now, Matthew 18 teaches the other side of the offense. If you hurt me, do you know what Jesus tells me to do? See, if I hurt you, Jesus tells me to go and make it right. But if you hurt me, do you know what Jesus tells me to do? Go to you and try to make it right. Wait a second, Jesus. That just doesn't seem fair. That I, you know, wait a second. I thought Matthew 5, you said if I hurt them, I need to go and make it right. So if they hurt me, they should come to me. Right? But see, your eyes are on the wrong place. You're looking at other people's responsibilities. No. You're accountable for you. It is for you that you will stand before God and have to answer for every thought, every word, and every action that you've taken in this life. So Jesus doesn't teach that principle of wait for them. It's all on them. No. Jesus teaches this principle of ownership. In fact, you might say extreme ownership, where if I hurt you, I gotta go. If you hurt me, I gotta go. What if you're not a friend that hurt me? What if you're an enemy? In Matthew, notice chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. What's that tell us about love? It's not a feeling. It's a decision. It's a choice. Love your enemies and what? Pray for those who persecute you. Not eye for an eye, not fight fire with fire, because we know what happens there, right? You lose two eyes and you get a bigger fire. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So notice here. Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for them. So it doesn't matter what other people do. I have to take ownership for me and my responses, my actions and my reactions. It doesn't matter what somebody says to me. What matters is what do I say to them. It doesn't matter what someone else does to me. That what matters, as far as I'm concerned, is what I do to them. And it doesn't matter what other people don't do. The question is, what do I do? And what do I not do? How many of us have ever used that excuse? Well, you don't know what they did to me. Or they started it, right? You see, when Jesus said to love our enemies, he took the excuse card out of the deck. How many play Monopoly and enjoy at the beginning of the game the get out of jail free card? We all know that towards the end of the game, you value that thing. You cherish that thing so that you can just hide it under the board so you can stay in jail, right? But at the beginning of the game, you value that card for a different reason. You want to play it. You want to get out of jail free. And you know what? Your excuse card has been removed from the deck. It does not matter whether everybody else around you is cussing and swearing. If you're a Christian, you don't. It doesn't matter if everybody else is living together or having sex before they're married. If you're a follower of Jesus, you don't. It doesn't matter if everybody's out getting drunk on a Friday night or enjoying the holiday weekend, really enjoying it. You don't. It doesn't matter whether they're friends, family, or foe. You see, either we are a follower of Jesus or we're something else. And we have to decide that. We have to take ownership for the life that we're going to choose to live. And every time we abdicate responsibility, every time we pass the blame and try to lay the blame on somebody else or something else, and we make excuse, we deceive ourselves. You want to know who was at fault for eating the fruit in the garden? Every one of them. Do you want to know who was at fault at the McAvoy household for losing his temper and getting short with the kids and the wife? Me. Right? Responsibility, ownership. Who or what are our excuses for not obeying Jesus today? Who is it or what is it that we are using as an excuse to not obey Jesus today? Is it our girlfriend? Is it our boyfriend? Is it our friends, coworkers, our spouse? Is it our financial situation? You hear that all the time. I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to obey God and honor him with a tithe. That's between you and him. But just understand that whatever excuses we make, in the end, when we stand before God, there's only one question he's going to ask you every time. Why didn't you follow me here? Why didn't you follow me there? Why didn't you do this? Well, Lord, just stop, right? Because whatever excuse we try to think up, in the end, we're responsible to obey, to choose, and we can't blame anybody or anything else for how we choose to think, speak, and act. Jesus teaches ownership in every moment, and situation, we choose what we will be known as and known for, be it children of God or children of the devil. In every moment of every situation, we choose, friends. And that's a tough pill to swallow because we like our excuses. We like the blame shifting because it somehow pacifies our conscience. We feel justified because we use the faults and the shortcomings of other people to rationalize and justify our own. And I'm just here to let you know that will never fly with the Lord. And Jesus teaches the exact opposite principle. Jesus teaches ownership. He especially teaches this principle regarding the addressing of our own sins, our own mistakes and faults. See, just in general, God wants us to take responsibility and take ownership for our actions and our reactions, but especially when we mess up. In your outlines, God wants us to own our issues, not ignore or shift blame. And some issues are ours because of what others have done and circumstances we've lived through, and that's a reality. We are not islands unto ourselves. Our lives are interconnected, and when somebody does something right or wrong, it has a ripple effect into our life. And guess what? We do have to deal with it, but we are responsible to deal with it right. Not make wounds from the past an excuse to live broken today. No, what they said and what they did to you was not right and it was not fair. But it happened. We live in a broken world full of broken people. And it happens, sometimes on purpose and sometimes unintentionally. That's not what's in question. The question is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle it? Are you going to do it God's way? Are you going to forgive? Are you going to work towards reconciliation? Right? Are you going to abstain and start saying no to those things instead of giving in to the peer pressure or the temptation? You see, God wants us to take ownership of our issues, friends. And the fact is we will all mess up. We will all make mistakes, but the question will be, are we going to utterly fail, or are we going to do what John Maxwell describes as failing forward? In your outlines, failing forward is where you mess up, you fail, but you learn from your mistakes so that you don't repeat them. So are we going to utterly fail and just keep repeating this cycle of brokenness and pain, hurting ourselves and hurting others? Or are we going to fail forward and learn from our mistakes and not repeat the past and not continue the cycle? This is all easier said than done, but the starting point is to take ownership and quit blaming others. In your outlines, when confronted with our wrongs, or we could also say our issues, we have a choice to blow up or grow up. And those two results of blowing up or growing up, they will be the result of how we choose to face the issues and deal with them or not. Will we pass the blame, or will we take ownership for what we can do, what we should do as a follower of Jesus? in Proverbs 28, specifically regarding our own mistakes and shortcomings, God tells us, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. See, a lot of us, we feel the opposite about that. We feel like when we mess up, we need to hide it. Because otherwise, people will hold it against us, right? If we own it, if we acknowledge that. And so we spend our lives, especially in America, we spend our lives with these facades where we have our problems, we have our habits, we have our issues, and we just try to sweep them under the rug and hide them in the closet so nobody can see. And all they get to see is our Jesus Sunday Christian side. How is everything, brother?
Wonderful, praise the Lord.
Sister, how's it going? Oh, the Lord is so good. Right? Every day his mercies are renewed. Got the joy of the Lord. And you know, it's not that that's not true. It's not that that's not true. It's just that that's the only side we get to see. And there's no being real. And no taking ownership with what's going on, the fullness of life. Because life is more than just laughter. It has tears. Right? It has joys and sorrows. And in every season, we're meant to go through it as a follower of Jesus. And part of that means not going through it alone. But whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So, friends, we are not to hide our issues. We're not to blame shift or deflect. We're to take ownership, confess it, acknowledge it, and renounce it. And in so doing, we find what we're looking for, freedom from it, mercy. We can move forward now. We can deal with the issues that need dealt with. We can leave these things behind and move on. In your outlines, we are no longer hiding from who we used to be or our present struggles. You know, church, they say, is full of hypocrites. And that accusation comes from a people who are on the outside looking in, and they know us well enough to see the Jesus side and see us hiding the ugly parts. At Open Arms, I know we still have some of that. But I do glory in the fact that we have a very strong authenticity about us as a people. And I just want to challenge you to keep that up. I want to challenge you to keep walking authentically with Jesus. Let us celebrate your Jesus side, and let us help one another with the broken parts, the ugly parts. Because we don't help ourselves and we don't help anybody else when we just conceal and hide or blame shift. We are no longer hiding from who we used to be or our present struggles, but are able to face them, own them, and move past them. We grow from them, which is what God wants to see happen. And when this happens, friends, the peace, comfort, confidence, freedom, strength, and wholeness that we seek is found in the light, the glorious light of Jesus Christ. In 1 John, it says, but if we walk in the light, how many know light brings illumination, it brings clarity, things that are hidden are now revealed. Light brings truth. There's no pretending. When the light is on, you see exactly how it is. There's no distortion. And when we walk in the light, friends, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Purifies. The bad stuff starts to get taken out. Think about that. When we just give it over to Jesus, when we surrender, when we own it, God can now do his work. Because as long, have you ever had a child who had an injury and they kept covering it up and they'd pull away from you? And every time you try to touch, they're in, trying to protect it, right? As long as we're sensitive and constantly pulling back and hiding it, protecting it from God's helping hand and the helping hands that God will bring into our life through others to deal with those issues, we stay in that dirty, broken place, right? But when we allow God to work his work in our life, and when we allow him to bring people into our life to help us with those things, friends, he purifies our life. The bad debris that would infect us is now taken out, and things get cleaned up. And you know what that means? It means that our relationship with God gets better. We become a better person. Our relationships with people get better. There's a freedom about life, a joy, a wholeness. In your outlines, we said it this way: we become stronger, healthier, whole as God purifies our life from sin. And the word sin doesn't mean some grievous, heinous evil. It means anything that's less than best. Anything less than perfect. So the question isn't what's the easiest way. The question is what's the best way. I'm no longer going to blame others. I'm no longer going to blame McDonald's that I'm fat. I'm no longer going to blame my ex. Right? I'm no longer going to blame the church or my pastor. I'm no longer going to blame my parents. I'm no longer going to blame anyone else. Because here's the fact. If you're looking for an excuse, any excuse will do. If you're looking for an excuse, you'll find one. If you're looking for faults in others as a reason for you to do life differently than God would have you do it, you'll have 7 billion of them. Because there are no perfect people on this world. So if you want excuses, there's a world full of them. But if you want to follow Jesus, then you have to take ownership. You have to take responsibility for you. And that can be hard because we always want to look to what other people are doing, whether it's what they're approving or what they're disapproving, whether it's how they're acting wrong or acting right. We always look to other people. What's Scripture teach us? There's one standard that we measure ourselves against. And it's not Mike, it's not Chris, it's not John, it's not Denny, it's not Susie, it's Jesus. That's it. One standard, friends. It's not the president. It's not Democrats or Republicans. It's Jesus. It's not liberals or conservatives. It's Jesus. It's not your friends or your family. It's Jesus. Let's close our eyes. Father God, I just pray right now that you will move in this place. Lord, it's a holiday weekend and we're ready to celebrate. But being free means that we have dealt with the things that have held us captive. We have faced them and we have dealt with them. And we know that left to ourselves, we are not strong enough to do this. We need your help. We need your divine intervention. And Lord, we're just real honest right now that excuses are a full-time job for some of us. We've got a million and one reasons of why we can't make it to church, or we can't read our Bible, or we can't take time to pray, or why we do some of the things we do, even though you tell us don't. Right now, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in our hearts and our minds. Lord, right now, search our hearts. Who is that person? What is that situation or circumstance that we've been using as an excuse and a reason in our own minds to justify not following Jesus fully in what we say, think, and do towards those persons or that situation? Right now, I just want to invite all of us to pray a simple prayer together. And you can repeat after me, but be very mindful that as you speak these words, that these are expressing what's in your own heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me. No more excuses. No more rationalizing. No more blame shifting. Jesus, be Lord. Help me, God, to take ownership and to choose to do it your way every time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.